1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Gotta do it.
No, I'm not going to do it.
Why not?
I'm not going to do it. None of your business why I want to run George Clooney over with a truck. I just want to run him over with a truck. What do you think about that? And if he gets run over with a truck, it ain't me that did it, because it's obviously out in the open now. I just don't like the guy. How about that? What do you think of that, huh? I don't like him. There. Yeah, I said it. And I don't need to say why. I just don't like looking at that kisser of his. Maybe I think he's too good looking. Maybe I don't like guys like that. You know what I don't dig about him? And the same reason why I don't dig that pen. These guys are anti-war, right? Boy, these cats do more war movies. What the hell is that about? Hey, Penn, if you don't dig war, how come you're in that Thin Red Line and that Clooney, you had a little slot in that? What is that, to show how anti-war you are? You're always playing war, man. He was in that Casualties of War, Thin Red Line War, the Wart War, the Warthog War. He's in every war. And by the way, Penn, back in the day, I don't think those guys wore processed pompadours into war, you know, like in Guadalcanal. So why don't you cut the hair and take the pull out of your rear end? And you too, Clooney. Oh, God. 1-800-449-8686. What does he want now?
You're talking about how you don't like the guy, but you won't say why you want to run him over with a truck.
I don't like the things he says, okay? Just like Telly Savalas with that doll in Twilight Zone. I don't like his big fat mouth. Maybe that's it. Although I do want to see that flick that he made about Edward R. Murrow. What's it called? Good Night and Drop Dead or something? Good Day and Good Luck? Something like that. I want to see that because I like that actor, David, what's his name? And I like the other actor he's got in it, Joe Blow. And the other guy is great. His name is, who's it? They're all great, and I just love it all. How come this guy is such a, he's like a big anti-war critic? Why don't you start making some good movies, man? Like that Good Night and Drop Dead. I want to see that. But Ocean's 12? You've got to be putting me on with that. Ocean's 11, Blue Ape. What do you think of that? That's probably very unpopular for me to say, but it did. It had a crap ending with all those guys sitting around the fountain thinking about what they're going to do with all that dough. The original, they lost all the money. But the Ocean's, 11, 12, 15? They're sitting around. There's Carl Reiner with a big grin on his kisser. 15 minutes of those guys sitting around having a wet dream. 15 minutes of those guys sitting around in a circle, you know what, thinking about what they're going to do with all that bread. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And this hour, we will have the PBBA. We're also going to check into a little bit of email. Want to mention that the people that we benefit with the sale of our CDs, my friend's place, is got a really kind of a cool association with Cirque du Soleil. If you guys want to enjoy a Cirque du Soleil show, and you want to have a, dinner for one? Dinner for one? Dinner for, well, they do. They got a package dinner for one or dinner for two. Or dinner for two at the Reef Restaurant and one night stay at the Hotel Queen Mary. Just log on to www.homelessyouth.org. You'll find out about how my friend's place is teaming up with Cirque du Soleil. And they're going to be presenting their show, Quidam. And the money will go to benefit those guys over at my friend's place. Those are some really nice people, and they do really, really great work. I don't know where we're at with our CD sales. I'd like to think that we're doing better than we were a couple of weeks ago. But we are trying to make it easier for you to pick up the CD. Just call 877-616-PHIL. That's the Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2005. And it's a two-CD set, so you're getting more for your money. Just call that number. That way you don't have to have a computer and you don't have to order it online and all those other things that seem to freak a lot of people out. We're trying to make it a little bit easier. But you do have to have a credit card. The number is 877-616-PHIL. That spells Phil, and that stands for pool. Okay, let's get back to some of the email that we've been reading here on the air. This one is a personal for Phil. I know you're a history buff, so here's a book you may find interesting about 9/11, 102 Minutes, The Untold Story of the Fight to Survive the Twin Towers by Jim Dwyer and Kevin Flynn. They've pieced together hundreds of interviews. Thank you very much. That's from David. Dear Phil, the way you opened up your show about 6 weeks ago was hysterical. It started out with the song You Sexy Thing by Hot Chocolate. Do you remember how we opened the show? Was it Pastor William? Oh, it was Pastor William Rennick dancing to You Sexy Thing. Hey, Phil, here's a question. When you go to a drive-in to order food, do you ever do your voices to mess with the person taking the order? Sincerely, Josh. No, man. No, I don't. Hey, Phil, I love your show. Before I knew you were socially advanced enough to have a website and this backstage pass to listen to your show, I purchased an XM radio just because you were on it. Keep up the great work. Gary from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Some other emails having to do with our offer, our standing offer, to give $10,000 to anybody who can put a sign on the roof of their house that is seen by the Google satellite. People want to know, well, how does that work? It's very simple. I don't know why, you know. All you got to do is stick a sign up there, man. If I see it on the Google satellite, you win $10,000. Like we said last night, if you try to Photoshop something in, or like the guy did yesterday, hey, Phil, here, see, here's the picture. He sends me the picture. No. Dude, I got to be able to go to that satellite and take a look at it. Here's one from a guy named Steve. Phil, just wanted to wish you well on your new show, Teachers, on NBC. Regardless of how well you're treated in television, you still greatly appreciate, or you're still greatly appreciated by your listeners. Thank you so much. I like radio. I don't know, should I read part of that article that I wrote? I wrote a little essay for our website, and it's entitled, and if I want to get the title of this correctly, but the essay was in essentially something that we wrote. It's on the homepage, and the name of it is Working in TV, What's Not to Like? And it goes, being part of creating a television show is very much the glamour and fun you've heard it to be. Many would say working as an actor is hard. They might say it's a misunderstood life. They might say it's about long hours and intense sessions of dialogue coaching, camera blocking, and line readings. Well, I think the whole experience is a gas and far, far more rewarding than humping a three-hour radio show every day, especially the one that I do. Now, let me just go on. It says, when I show up at stage 29 on the Sony Pictures lot each day for the new NBC show Teachers, I've got my own private dressing room and a brand new trailer to go to. It's equipped with a TV, DVD player, VHS player, CD player, microwave, a bathroom and a shower with a toothbrush and toothpaste laid side by side. It's equipped with a DVD player, a CD player, and all that crap. There is a small leather sofa to catch a nap on when a scene I'm not in is being rehearsed or shot.
Do you take groupies back there for to have the sex?
Can I do what?
Can you take groupies back there for to have sex?
Can I take groupies back there for to have sex?
Well?
Shut up, man, before someone hurts you bad, and it might be me. On the stage itself, we have something called craft services. That's where we can go to have breakfast, lunch, dinner, or a snack if we need it. There has been tortilla soup, fajitas, scrambled eggs, eggs benedict, English muffins, bagels, salads of every variety, ham and roast beef sandwiches, stews, French toast, tortilla chips, donuts, pastries, cakes, cookies, and juices. At another station, we can grab fresh brewed coffee or have a machine make us espresso style, vanilla roast, Irish, or Turkish. In a double door cooler is Sierra Mist, Diet Coke, regular Coke, Mountain Dew, 7-Up, and a variety of grape, orange, or cherry sodas. When we're on the set, we have a crew of people setting up our cameras, sound, scenery, and lighting, and production assistants who can get us a bottle of water, move a chair for us so we can see the replay monitors of the set, or run and grab something from our cars that we might have forgotten. Speaking of that, we have an assigned parking space that is ours and ours alone and located a few feet from an elevator. If we step outside to grab some air or have a smoke, a member of the crew keeps track of us and comes to get us when our scene is up. That means we are shooting or rehearsing a scene that we're in. If we work late, our producers can get us pizza or have somebody make a Starbucks run. On the day we shoot in front of the audience, we're driven over to the studio grill and have dinner from a buffet. The other night we had enchiladas, fajitas, Spanish rice, salad, and of course anything we want to drink. On the set, makeup and wardrobe people are there to make sure we are touched up and our clothes are on straight. After we wrap, someone has a golf cart to transport any of the ladies who prefer an escort to their car. The people I work with are funny, dedicated, and helpful. We give each other ideas, encourage each other, and socialize away from the show when we have time. What's not to like? People ask me, Phil, if the show is a hit, will you quit radio? I always answer, no way. I'm keeping my radio show, regardless. But I got to tell you, it is a serious temptation to work full-time in an industry where the value of talent is recognized as opposed to one that dreads the day that it ever happens. I kind of like that touch. I love radio, don't get me wrong. It has made everything possible. But 3 weeks on and 1 week off, I'd have to be nuts not to like that. Paul Harvey, good day. There you go. So that's on the website. You can check it out or not, as the case may be. And also, while you're there, we have our souvenir shop for you to look into.
So basically, this would be like a 15-minute plug for the website.
Exactly. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And welcome, everybody, here from the Akron Lanes in Akron, Ohio. It's the PBBA on ABC Sports. Hello, everybody. This is the ghost of Chris Schenkel. And anyway, welcome to our bowling exhibition here today. And with me is Earl Anthony. And Earl, this is an exciting sport. We know the PBA is doing a lot of different things to try to create interest. Tell us a little bit about the Blind Bowling Association. Well, these are going to be guys that are blind. And some of the best blind bowlers in the world have come to this country to take part in the blind bowl. Look at this. Everybody left. Is it my breath? Is it the fact that you didn't hit the loop button on that thing? What is it? We don't know. But don't blame me. I'm just the host. You're the color commentator. All right, well, I am blaming you because I'm an amateur. You guys are the pros. I'm just sitting here with a thumb in my nose and sounding like I'm something special. Tell you what, let's just get to these guys because you're starting to give me the creeps looking at you, man. You were skinny in life, in death. Oh, man. All right, well, let's take a look now at our blind bowlers. Stepping up for the very first time, Jack Magoo. His father, of course, was the very famous Mr. Magoo. And here is Jack. Here goes. That's a gutter ball. All right. Specs Williamson rolling one down. He missed that one, too. Yeah, he missed it. And this is Peepers Johnson. So those are three straight gutter balls right there. Absolutely. What can we expect from these guys? More of the same? I don't know. What do you want from me? Well, whose idea was this to get blind guys out there? Wasn't mine. All right, here's Eagle Eye Morrissey. Is this some kind of a gag? What does that mean? If these guys are blind, don't worry about it. Just watch. Well, I heard this. No, that was down the lane. Let's take a look. Nope, he missed. Yeah, that's a gutter ball, too. All right, so that's three straight gutter balls. Now, Magoo is reaching for the powder. See if he can do something here. Nope, yeah, right in the gutter again. Being blind, doesn't that hurt? Yeah, I think so. And, all right, let's see here. Here's Eagle Eye Morrissey again. And let's see what kind of a... Ooh, nice spin, but it spun right off into the right gutter. Okay. And now coming again is Blinky Shanahan. Blinky? Well, that doesn't even, yeah, it didn't even get halfway down the lane. All right, we'll take time out here from the Blind Bowling Tour, and so far, no one has picked up even a, no one's, there's no pins down. Welcome back here to the Akron Lanes. It is 0-0. Four of the greatest blind bowlers in the world with us. Eagle Eye Morrissey, Peepers Jones, Specs Williamson, Blinky Hanrahan, and Jack Magoo. That's five. Okay? So that's not four. All right, we're in the fourth frame. And Specs Williamson. Oh, that's pretty good. Almost got it down there, but didn't hit any pins. Here is Peepers Jones. Missed it. And now Eagle Eye Morrissey. Let's take a look here at Eagle Eye. He's trying to really... Yeah, he missed that.
Can you give me some nachos?
And Eagle Eye Morrissey's asking for some... You want nachos, Eagle Eye?
Yeah.
Maybe you ought to get a pin down before you start making demands, huh? Jesus. All right, now Jack Magoo, who has... Jack's come the closest of any of the blind bowlers to hitting a pin, hasn't he? I don't know, man. I haven't been watching this. And now here's Specs Williamson. And he misses two. All right, we'll be going into the fifth frame here, and Eagle Eye Morrissey will take a nacho break. Boy, I tell you, it takes a pretty big pair, man, to be running off to get food when you haven't got a pin down.
What business is it of yours?
What?
What business is it of yours?
I'm with the network. I'm paying fees to see this crap. I'll be right back. And welcome back here to the Akron Lanes, the Professional Blind Bowlers Association. God, this is boring. God, this is boring. Peepers Johns is... Yeah, gee, he didn't get it in. What do you think, man? No pin? Yeah, no pin. Nice going, Peepers.
You do better?
Yeah, I think I could do better.
Why?
Because I got eyes, that's why. I got two eyes in my head. Look at, see, he missed that one too. And there goes Specs Williamson. That's nice, man. That bounced right into lane three. Good job. Yeah, I blow it out my, yeah, you blow it out. We'll be back. We are back here at the Akron Lanes, and the network has told me to stay with this. The first Akron Open for blind bowlers. So far, no one has hit a pin. Jack Magoo in the sixth frame. We'll go back and recount the frames. In the first frame, Jack got no pins. The second frame, no pins. You just heard it hit the pin thing. To the gate. These guys are bowling. Hey, Bill.
What?
They're bowling with the gate still down.
What about me?
Well, tell them not to bowl the ball and hit the gate. Look at that. These guys are blind, man.
Oh, great.
In the first frame, Specs Williamson, zero. Second frame, zero. Third frame, zero. Fourth frame, zero. Fifth frame, zero. Peepers Jones, zero, 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 and on it goes. So no one's hit anything. There's another one. Doesn't hit a thing. That just hit the gate again. Did you see that?
I gotta get it up.
Yeah, tell him not to roll the ball if the gate's still down. Look at a bunch of kids. Everybody's wandered away. They're playing pinball. No one cares. No one cares. Stay tuned. God, I feel like such a liar saying that to you. Stay tuned. Like there's something you're going to see. Well, you'll see more than these guys. All right, hold on for a minute. There's a violation. Magoo stepped on the line. We'll be right back and sort this out. Welcome back to the Professional Blind Bowlers Association. Some guy thought he had a real bright idea when he decided to put blind guys out here. I've got, I am told, five of the best blind bowlers in the world, and they couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. The only thing they've hit is the gate that drops down in front of the pins. Now, Magoo stepped on the line. What does that mean?
He gets to go over again.
Oh, he gets to go over again. Great. So I get to see him roll. I get to see him roll another gutter ball. And he misses. Okay, so Magoo is done for the day. So that's the 10th frame for Jack Magoo. And that brings up Eagle Eye Morrissey. Look at that. Oh, Jesus. It hit the gate again, man.
I know what it is.
Well, why don't you help the poor blind man? All right, they're going to have a bowl off because it's tied at zero. I'm embarrassed for this network. The Professional Blind Bowlers Association will continue here on the Phil Hendry Show in just a moment.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Some guy draws a cartoon. It shows Muhammad, I guess, with a bomb on his head or something, and they're going nuts all over the world. Some, not all, some people who describe themselves as Muslims are going ape. They're going wild all over it. Because they drew Muhammad, and he's got a fuse coming out of his head, right? Now, these cats are going ape on that, but two guys, you know, some guys fly two airplanes into a building, and that's cool. What is up with them? I'll tell you what's up with them. It's called, you know, I want a girl just like the girl that married dear old dad, man. They want to live in the 15th century, man. That's the only thing they care about. You got to be kidding me. Anybody that would, I know some people don't like this. I don't give a, personally, I don't care. This is my opinion. You don't like it, stuff it. You got to be some kind of an imbecile to think that there is anything defensible about those people. Anything. I got into an argument with someone. I said, you know, I looked at that Nicholas Berg video when they murdered that poor boy. And said, you did? Yeah, I did. Why? Because I feel it's my duty as a member of the media. I have to look at that stuff. I said, well, what did he do? I said, well, they literally sawed this boy's head off while he was alive. And this is what I got.
But don't you think there are things that Americans did to cause the thing?
And I said, yeah, and I guess we could say that the Jews did a whole lot to cause their, themselves to be shoved into ovens and have their kids hung. Are you crazy? You got to be a mental midget. You know, and now what do we got? We got a society of people who are going crazy because some dude drew a cartoon in a Western nation. But fly a couple of airplanes into a building, yeah, that's cool, man. Everything's good with that. Anybody in this country that has anything to say in favor of those actions by these people is a blind idiot. Maybe that's why I want to run George Clooney over with a freaking truck. I can't stand it any longer. I'm not kidding you, man. I think I'm, you know what? I'm not going to see any more of his movies. There, that'll show him. My $8 stays in my pocket, Clooney. And you know what else? I'm getting rid of your aunt's records. I had a stack of Rosemary Clooney records. They're all going in the street. I'm going to hire a bulldozer and what's the thing you get? A steamroller. What are you doing, Phil? You flattening Cat Stevens records? No, Rosemary Clooney records. Because she's related to that guy. And I ain't ever going to watch your old man Nick Clooney or whoever that guy was. Who's Nick Clooney anyway? Is that his dad? Is he gone or is he still with us? So Nick, didn't he host the AMC Movie of the Week? I ain't watching that anymore. And that's all there is to it. And I used to like that guy. God. You know, and the other thing that is so obvious to me, you take, like, for instance, a country like Israel. It's a country of 5 million people, and it's a democracy, right? They're defending themselves against, like, these totalitarian bigots and these dictators and these basically Nazis. I mean, Nazis with towels wrapped on their heads, right? And somebody's trying to sell that one as the Israelis being the SS, and the other people are, like, oppressed. That's how it's being packaged and sold, and there's people buying it. People are buying that. They're buying that somehow the West is the cause of all of these, is the cause of an idiot in Tehran with a towel wrapped on his head, setting fire to an embassy because a guy drew a cartoon. Hey, get with it, man. I don't care if you're Muslim or not, you're just Arab or Persian. You better get with the modern world, man. This is the 21st century. People get to do what the hell it is they want to do, so long as it doesn't mess with your own personal safety or the rights of you and your loved ones to live your life. Drawing a cartoon of Muhammad with a fuse coming out of his nose ain't screwing with your religion. It ain't messing with anything other than your imbecility. You got nothing else going on, so you figure you're going to march in the street and you're going to set fire to a few flags because you got no job. You got nothing else happening, man, so you might as well get upset because some guy with a big long beard and a big black robe who looks a little bit like Gandalf told you to run out there and start going ape. All those mullahs over there look like Gandalf to me. Maybe that's why I didn't like Lord of the Rings. They all look like a bunch of freaking Ayatollah Khomeini. That Gandalf looks exactly like the Ayatollah. And talk about racist. Men of the West? Oh, okay. Men of the West! And you're going up against all them dark-skinned goblins. You racists! All them goblins... Orgs, orcs, whatever the hell they're called. What are they? Goons, gremlins. They all got dark skin. Or green at best. One good thing about Lord of the Rings, I will say this. You know how Star Trek introduced a black Vulcan? And it kind of didn't work? At least Lord of the Rings didn't try to pull that one. At least Peter Jackson said, well, maybe we ought to make one of the hobbits dark. Are you nuts? You can't do it, man. It just isn't going to happen. There's nothing wrong with, I mean, I'm not a racist, but the story is the hobbits are white. Although he never really specifies, does he? Doesn't he say hobbits had kind of kinky hair and big noses? I think he said the hobbits had kind of a widespread nose and thick lips. So you blew it, man. There's nothing in that book that says they're white, so why do you assume they are? Check that one out. See if it don't come out the same. Oh, yeah. Hey, Jackson, seriously, the director of Lord of the Rings, how do you know hobbits were white? How do you know Gandalf was white? They called him the Grey. The whole thing's suspect to me. That whole trilogy, I think, you want to know where Hitler got his idea to invade? Reading that crap. It all came out, like, prior to World War II, didn't it? Yeah, I think Hitler read that stuff and went,
you know what, this guy's got the idea right here that we do... is, you know, get some goblins going and...
What are you talking about, mein Führer?
I'm talking about this guy here, Tolkien. See, what he says is a whole thing, you know, and we invade...
I don't know.
Come on, let's try, let's give it a try.
And these guys going nuts because some dude drew a cartoon of Muhammad with a fuse coming out of his rear end. And they're, oh, man, people are dying because of this. This is not a smart culture. This is a dumb culture. These are dumb people. I'm telling you, you can cut it any way you want. These are stupid people. Stupid, with a capital stoop. Dumb as the day is long, baby. Dumb as a handful of Georgia clay. Setting fire to crap. I mean, this has been going on for weeks now. People are dying because a guy drew a cartoon. I'll tell you right now, I'm going to get a hold of that thing and I'm going to stick it on my freaking website. Now you're going to really make me want to read that magazine. I didn't know what it was. It a funny magazine from Denmark? I'm going to get a subscription to it. I may not be able to read Danish, but I'll tell you what, I eat it. And I damn sure know what a raghead with a fuse coming out of his ass looks like. We'll be right back. One Man's Opinion, The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And now, Professor Husband Ginther's Man on the Move. Brought to you by the Carnegie Foundation.
And a very pleasant good evening to you. This is Professor Husband Ginther, and this is Man on the Move. The history of the human race is really a history of traversing this planet in a great many different ways. And this evening I'd love to talk to you about the migration of man from the continent of Europe to what we presently know as the British Isles. Now, as you know, the English Channel at one time was actually a landmass. In time, of course, it became quite marshy, but it was an area where the Neolithic people were able to hunt and gather. In due time, of course, as the ice age changed and melted, we found that the English Channel then filled in that area. Now, I'd like to bring Amber in. Amber is one of my second-year students. She's a very bright young girl, and she's going to bring in a display that will show...
Boy, look what she's wearing.
Anyway, Amber, thank you very much. You'll see the diagram here.
Man, look at that, will you?
I'm sorry, is there something?
Mr. Ginther, I think that you should pay more attention to your lecture, sir. I find this quite untoward.
Forgive me, gentlemen, forgive me. I'm so sorry. She's new to the school, and I noticed I never saw her wearing those pants before, and it was...
Jesus, man, please, cover yourself. Cover yourself. Stand behind the lectern, sir.
All right, I'll get in here behind the lectern. As I was saying, there is a great many people who would tell you
get a load of that ass.
Jesus! Who broke the lectern, you idiot?
I'm sorry, gentlemen. I didn't know. Anyway, as man began to migrate northward in the British Isles and began to hunt and gather in the farther north reaches, we do find evidence of man's settlements. It's quite fascinating. Now, coming in here is Kitty. Kitty will have the...
Oh, what kind of panties you wearing with that, baby?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to... Uh-oh.
We need another lectern.
Get out of here!
Right, well, take time out now. I have to get a proper professor to teach a proper class. This guy is a pervert. He's the kind of guy that...
Will you look at that? Man on the Move with Professor Husband Ginther has been brought to you by... Oh, yeah, check the legs out on that.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Well, this is a little bit of a shocker, just a little tiny bit of a shocker, but Art Schell has been hired back as head coach of the Oakland Raiders. The reason why I say it's a bit of a shocker, I don't think anybody expected that Art would be back as head coach. He was head coach of the Raiders back in 1990. And he has been hired now for his second stint, ending Oakland's 5.5-week search to replace Norv Turner. And I said at the time, hiring Norv Turner, what, you know, I don't know what Al Davis is thinking about half the time. I don't know what his story is. Norv Turner, the guy before him was who? Oh, Bill Callahan, who was, you know, got him to the Super Bowl, or was that John Gruden? Well, in any event, anybody that's ever coached that team that's been any good for the last 20 years, Davis has run him out of town on a rail. Gruden couldn't stand his guts. Now, Art Schell is going to go in there, and I guess he gets along okay with Davis. Schell's 59. He last coached the team in the early 90s, as I mentioned. He compiled while head coach of the Raiders. He had a 54-36 regular season record. He led the Raiders to the AFC Championship game following the 1990 season. He has not gotten a second chance as a head coach after his firing, a move that Al Davis said that he regretted. A move that Al Davis said that he regretted. 16 years later, he rehires him. All right. Davis also had interviewed Al Saunders, James Lofton, the Hall of Famer, Rod Marinelli. He talked with former St. Louis coach Mike Martz. He talked with John Shoup, who is his own quarterback coach. He talked with Louisville coach Bobby Petrino. Saunders took a job with the Redskins. Marinelli was hired with Detroit. Martz is with the Detroit Lions. So Art Schell is back as head coach of the Oakland Raiders. And, of course, back then he was head coach of the L.A. Raiders. I don't know whether it makes any difference. Probably not. And so the Raiders are going to try it again. You know, and when they had, you know, they had Gruden, they had a damn good football coach. I think John Gruden's a great football coach. I don't like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but I like John Gruden. He got rid of all that dead weight down there. He sent fat ass out to the Oakland Raiders. What's his name? Sapp. Randy Moss is another head case. You know, all that Raider mystique. Get out of here with that and start building a football team, will you? Search and destroy. I'll tell you what you do, Davis. You search and destroy head coaches. That's what you've been doing. Why don't you get off your high horse, get out of that whole Raider badass thing, and start playing a little bit of football. Nobody's afraid of your team anymore. Ball club used to represent a little bit in the way of skill, you know, defense, offense. They had everything going on. But I don't know, ever since, I don't know what it is with you, Davis, ever since you got the idea that somehow you guys just could do anything, you could walk on water, I think you saw too many gang fights in the stands at the Coliseum. When you started wearing black leather and not washing your hair, things began to go bad for that team. Hey, Al, it's called Prel. Buy it. Jesus, Davis. Every time I see that guy, it looks like he hasn't run a comb through that hair. I bet you if he ran a comb through that hair, it'd be like 16 pounds of grease. Wash your hair, get a tailor, get out of your coach's faces, go do, I don't know, buy Madden 2006. Have some fun with that. There, you can build a ball club doing that. So Art Schell is back. The first black head coach in modern NFL history. They say modern NFL history, which means 1946 to the present. Prior to that, there was a guy by the name of Jess Pollard who was a head coach in the NFL. I don't know what team. I don't even remember the era. I think it was the 20s, but Jess Pollard was a black player and a black coach. Who's the guy that hired him? Can you imagine that? Is an African-American coach in the 20s? It must have been that tells you how popular football was back then. Even the Klan didn't go watch it. Pro football was so dull that the Ku Klux Klan missed that they hired a black guy as a head coach. They were too worried about Jackie Robinson and whether the St. Louis Cardinals were going to get him good seats. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.